Good morning to all listeners from around the world. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran, and I'm your host for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about Islam. You are listening to Iran Radio. There are an estimated 1.8 billion Muslims in the world, which is about 1.5% of the world's population. Due to birth and conversion rates, Islam is considered to be the fastest growing religion in the world today. We start off this hour's programs with Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and afar. Let's recite the Quran will be our final program this hour. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2.
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all my gentle friends. This is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it.
Welcome to Kids Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
You say, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, dude.
Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good job. Mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question. Good question. I'm about to answer that question.
He knows everything, past or future, and aware of every word or gesture. Whatever we do is under his sight, be it done in the dark or in the light.
Kids Corner. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله طيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Welcome, dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
You are at the right place and at the right time, and you're listening to Kids Corner. Kids Corner. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What did we talk about in the last session? What was the topic?
About Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Oh, good. We talked about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord and the Master of all the worlds.
Also the guide.
And He's the one who guides us. He's the one who takes care of us. He's the nurturer. He's the nourisher. He guides the mankind. Not only the mankind, but the animals. Everything He creates and He guides. He has goal. When He created everything, He has a goal. And we also, in the last session, we talked about Alhamdulillah. And we also talked about a hadith, a tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he talks about a hadith of the Prophet. He said the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, what did he say? You, Sumayya.
He said that we should stay away from haram things and stay away from sinning.
Okay, you.
The person who thanks Allah is the same as the person who he gets the same sawab of a person who fasts.
Okay, he thanks Allah while
eating.
While eating, good. So let me repeat what you just said. The Prophet said, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, the Prophet said that the reward of the one who eats thankfully is like the reward of the one who fasts to seek closeness to Allah. The one who stays hungry to seek closeness to Allah, he gets some reward. And our Holy Prophet is saying that the person who is fasting to seek closeness to Allah will get some rewards. And the same reward is given to a person who is eating thankfully. He's saying, Alhamdulillah, oh my God, it's so good. Thank you for feeding me, oh Allah. There's so many people who are dying of hunger in this world.
In Africa.
In Africa, for example. Oh my God.
Also in Somalia.
In Somalia, which is in Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of people dying of hunger, poverty. Okay? And so Allah is giving us the blessing. We should be thanking Allah.
Yeah.
When we thank Allah, then Allah will do what?
He'll give us
more.
Oh.
He will give us more.
Yeah.
Right? So, and now let's see. You know, he rewards the person who thanks Allah. The same reward as the one who fasts, who is fasting to seek closeness to Allah. Why? Because there are so many people in this world who eat.
But they don't thank.
They don't thank. They don't thank. Very good. They don't thank. They just eat. They don't even think about
Allah.
Allah. Good job, Sumayya. They don't even think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just eat and eat and eat.
Eat.
And they don't think about it. Then we talked about the continuation of this hadith, this tradition of the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet said the person who is healthy and who is thankful will get the same reward as the one who is patient in calamities. And I gave an example. I said, what was the example?
The example was that if a person who broke his leg, for example, and thanks Allah for his other things like eyes, hands, head, being, he gets the same sawab as the person who thanks when he's healthy.
Good job. Good job, but you reversed it a little bit.
Oh.
Oops.
Okay, this is how it is. You're right. Good job. You got it. But let me say, it was not totally but it was okay. It was good. All right, I'll tell you what it is. The person who is thankful when he's healthy, he's got everything. He's got everything, hands, feet, everything. He's very happy. He's thankful to Allah. Oh, Allah, thank you very much for this great health. He will get the same reward for thanking as the one who is not healthy and thankful. Get it? You kind of reversed it, but you got the point.
Yeah.
All right? So good job. Thanks for trying. Now, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving them rewards for being healthy and thankful? Why?
Because when they are healthy, because sometimes somebody he broke his leg, but he's still thankful to Allah about eyes and hands and also his other leg. That's why Allah gives more to them as he gives more and more rewards to them because they're thankful to Allah.
Because they're thankful to Allah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. The question was this. Why is Allah rewarding? You know why? Because there are a lot of people in this world. They're walking, they're having a good time, they're looking, they're hearing, they're talking and everything. But
they're
they don't
not
even
thank.
They don't think of Allah. They don't thank Allah.
Yeah.
So So if a person who has got everything, all these blessings, and he's walking around happy, go lucky, but he's thanking Allah. He's, thank you, Allah. Oh my God, for all these blessings. I'm able to walk. I'm able to touch. I'm able to hold. I'm able to pick. I'm able to see. I'm able to hear. I'm able to breathe. What will happen if you don't breathe?
We'll die.
Man. We'll be like, dead. We'll be dead. Right? But, so, we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all these blessings that Allah will reward us. Give us the same amount of blessing, same amount of reward as the one who is thankful to Allah, even though he broke his leg, for example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about all the great things Allah gives to us, our friends, our families, and our teachers. The food we eat, and the beautiful world we live in. All of them come from Allah. Allah's blessings are too many to count. Whenever we remember one of Allah's favors, we should thank Him. When we thank Allah for what He gives us, He gives us even more. Allah loves those who are thankful to Him.
Eyes for Allah, nothing but Allah. Ba is the beginning of Bismillah. Ta is for taqwa, bewaring of Allah. And tha is for thawab, a reward.
Whenever we do a good deed, Allah rewards us. Good deeds can be done lots of ways, like doing our salah or giving charity. A good deed can even be helping someone with a problem or putting something out of harm's way. The word for reward starts with the letter tha. It's called thawab. Tha, thawab.
Allah. There's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger, Allah, la ilaha illallah.
So now let's continue, the hadith continues. The Prophet said, as per Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Prophet said, what was the number of Imam Sadiq?
Six.
Good job.
Way to go.
Our Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he said that the Prophet said, and we're continuing on the same tradition. The reward of the one who is thankful when he's granted blessings, when he's given blessings, is like the reward of the one who is contented in his deprivation. You know what that means?
No.
You know what that means? No. I'll tell you. Don't worry. I'm here. Brother Ali is here. And he will tell you the meaning, what it is. All right. What it means is, are you ready?
Are you ready?
It means the one who's thankful, like, for Allah gives him, like, Allah is giving me blessings. Here, Ali, Brother Ali, take this. He's giving me blessings, and I'm like, thank you, Allah. I'm grabbing all the blessings, but I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings. I'm thanking Him, and then Allah is not giving any blessings to, God forbid, Muhammad.
No.
He's not giving any blessings to Sumayya. He's not giving any blessings. But, and you know, you have very little to eat. You don't have a car. Like, for example, but you are thankful. You have like one bread, for example. And you're still thankful to Allah. Say, oh Allah, thank you for this bread. So Allah will give you the reward, right?
Yeah.
You're still thankful. Yeah. You have nothing. You say, oh Allah, one bread. At least I have a bread. Some people don't even have a bread.
Right.
Don't have a piece of bread. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Allah. Oh Allah, thank you for the eyes. Thank you for a great parents and all these things. I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will give you reward. And definitely. Right? So Allah will give you the same reward. Allah will give me the same reward. See, I'm getting confused too. Allah will give me the same reward even though I have everything. I got like tons of bread and tons of different fruits and everything in the refrigerator and all kinds of candies or Cadburys or what have you. And the Toblerones. Huh? Do you like Toblerone? I love it, man. What are you talking about? Okay. And so I got all these candies and everything in front of me and I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give me the same reward. that He will give you, God forbid, if you don't have anything. And you're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of the same reason, there's so many people who
are
They don't thank Allah. They don't remember Allah.
They don't even think about Allah. They just enjoy the blessing. They don't even think about Him. So I will get the same reward as the one who is deprived. Deprived means the ones who are not given. Okay. All right. Now, this is a beautiful hadith, isn't it? So brothers and sisters, we need to really thank Allah. And we cannot thank Allah enough. Can we thank Allah enough?
Never.
Never. Why?
Can I say?
Yeah.
Because when we thank Him, we have actually not thanked Him. Because we have to thank Him because He gave us the opportunity to thank Him.
I can kiss you for that. Beautiful
and
answer.
And that goes on.
Beautiful, beautiful. I sent.
Yeah. Woohoo! Good job, people.
This is a tradition of Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Moses, he says, oh Allah, I cannot thank you enough. Because every time I thank you, I need to thank because of your divine help. Because of your tawfiq that you have given me to thank you, I have to thank you again for that. And again for that, it is never ending.
Yeah.
Also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Which number?
Sixth.
Imam?
Sixth Imam.
You got it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, every single breath you go, every breath you take necessitates an essential thanks from you. Or rather, 1,000 thanks or more. Every breath we're taking, that means we need to thank Allah for every breath. Can we do that? No, we cannot do that. It is impossible. But it does necessitate a thank. Because suddenly I'm breathing right now, and suddenly I stop breathing. I'll die. I'll choke and I'll die. Right? So every breath I'm taking, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm breathing. Okay? So we need to thank Him. And we cannot thank Him enough, so we should try our best. We should one breath, thank you. Two breath, thank you, Allah. No, you shouldn't be counting. But do your best, okay? Okay, what are you doing, Muhammad? I'm breathing and I'm thanking Allah. Okay, do something else. I asked you a question. Wait, I'm thanking Allah. No, come on, don't go crazy like that. But you need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right?
Yeah.
Enough, thank Him, enough. Do it as many times as possible. Don't be sitting idle. Think of Allah. Remember Him. Thank Him. Okay? That's how we should do it. But it's impossible for us to thank Him in every breath we take.
Thank you, Allah, for the sun so bright that shines from up above. Thank you, Allah, for my family who taught me how to love. Thank you, Allah, for the trees that give fruit and wood and shade. Thank you, Allah, for the good you put in everything you made. La 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 la. For the water falling down as rain from the cloudy skies, for the moonbeams and the stars so bright shining through the night, for the mountains standing big and tall, oceans deep and wide, the creatures both that are big and small that run and swim and fly. La 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 la. La 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 la. There's so much to be thankful for, so much the words can't say. So thank you, Allah, for the many gifts you give to me each day. La 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 la.
All right. So, brothers and sisters, we're talking about Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We need to thank Allah for every breath that we take, right? In other words, we should do our best and thank Him. And one of the ways of thanking Allah is not just saying Alhamdulillah. One of the ways of thanking Allah is by obeying Him. When you obey Allah, Allah says, do hijab, you do hijab. Allah says, do not lie, you don't lie. Allah says, be nice to your parents, you're nice to your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, be good to the neighbors, you're good to the neighbors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't cheat, and you don't cheat. Allah says, do not talk bad about other people. You know what's haram? That is haram, talking bad about other people. Ghiba is haram, big time. Lying is haram. Don't even lie to your parents. No, not anyone. Don't lie. It's haram.
There's also a tradition which says that if you want to thank Allah, love Him. And if you want to love Him, do what He says.
Exactly. Beautiful. Mashallah. A big applaud for Muhammad. Yay!
Yeah!
Good job. All right. Now, what are we talking about? We're saying, we need to say Alhamdulillah, good. But the best way, another way of thanking Allah other than saying Alhamdulillah is, like for example, I'm saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, but I'm doing all bad things. I'm doing all evil things. I'm lying, God forbid, and I'm cheating, I'm backbiting, I'm talking bad about others, and I'm saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Oh, you are such a jerk. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. No, come on. You shouldn't do that. So you say Alhamdulillah, and your actions should also say Alhamdulillah. You should be nice to your parents. You should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should pray on time. Not be watching TV when Adhan time. Don't be watching TV. Turn off the TV. But mom, I love this program. No, turn the TV off, pray, and then watch that program. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the first priority. Don't be watching program. Mom, let me finish this game, okay? Leave me alone. Oh, God, you know what you're doing? Two things you're doing wrong. Number one, you're yelling at your mom.
Uh-oh.
That's bad. Number two, it's the adhan. It's the salat time, and you're like watching, playing a game. Leave that game. Turn it off. Or say, you know what? Tell your friend, I'll be right back. Let me go and pray. All right? That is if your friend is a non-Muslim. If your friend is a Muslim, then invite him. Come on, let's pray. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Don't you want to pray? Huh?
As that friend himself, even if he's a Muslim or not, he will learn from us that how we are doing what our Lord is saying.
Ahsan, good job.
Way to go.
All right. Now, so the best way, of course, say Alhamdulillah, but obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And by doing the things that He wants us to do and staying away from haram and doing good things, this is one way of thanking Him and appreciating Him. For example, I'll give you another example, and that is your dad, Sumayya, your dad gives you $100. Say, Sumayya, my daughter, you are so special. Here's $100. And I would like you to spend in good things. And he says, you can buy good things from this, but not evil things. He gives you a list of things. Don't buy this, don't buy that, don't buy this, don't buy that. But you can buy these, right? He gives you a list. And suppose you go out, say, I got the $100. Thanks, Dad. And you just go out. I say, I got $100 and I'm going to shop what I want. And you start buying anything and everything, even the things that your dad says don't buy. Would you be really thanking your dad? No, you won't be thanking your dad. No, your dad, when he sees that, he'll feel hurt. Oh my God, I gave her $100 and I told her not to buy this and she bought it. What kind of daughter is this? Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, you know what? I've given the blessings to this person. I've given this person wealth. I've given this person health. But he's not using it. You know, this person is healthy, he's strong. And he's going and beating on his friends. Just because he's strong, he's big. Just punching everyone left and right. Is that good? No.
And
you do that, Muhammad?
You do that? I try not to.
Okay, what do you mean I try not to? Don't be a bully. All right. So, okay, tell me, you were saying something.
I was saying that the person who has strength and does this work, it's as if he's using
his blessing, the blessing.
Yeah, in a bad way.
In a bad way. If he's beating on people and all that. So $100. So Maya, you get $100. You spend in the right things. You buy the things that your dad wants. He will be very happy. He goes, oh my God, what a special daughter. I will give her another $100 because she bought exactly what I told her to buy. And she refrained from buying the things I told her not to buy. Won't he be happy?
He will be.
He'll be saying, wow, she really appreciates me and this $100 that I gave. So she is basically thanking me. And if you buy the things that he doesn't want you to buy, then he will be like, oh God, ungrateful daughter. I gave her $100, I told her not to buy, and she bought exact not to buy certain things, and she bought exactly those things that I told her not to buy. She's ungrateful. I'm not going to give her $100 anymore. That's it. And you go to her, Dad, I need some money. Go. Get out of here. I'm not going to give you no money. What you talking about? Right. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best way of thanking is obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to be nice to parents. Inshallah, in the next session, we're going to talk about parents, okay? All right. So, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Thank you, listeners, for joining us at Kids Corner.
Yahoo!
Okay. And walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Stay with us.
I am a Muslim.
See you next time, same time, same channel.
Brother Ali is here, and he will tell you the meaning, what it is. All right. Just punching everyone left and right. Is that good? No. Hello? What you talking about, girl? Are you okay? You want some water? Or some juice?
My dad is thriving for my interest. Among my friends, he is the best. I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Neat I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Neat I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolimi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
After a three-year hiatus, the wheels of economic diplomacy are turning again between Iran and Pakistan. High-ranking delegations from both countries gathered in Tehran for the 22nd Joint Economic Commission, a two-day summit focused on deepening bilateral ties. Talks are co-chaired by Iran's Minister of Roads and Urban Development and Pakistan's Minister of Commerce and Trade. The Commission is addressing areas ranging from trade and investment to transportation, energy, and even environmental issues.
We can say we have a common ground for joint activities in regard to facing the challenges, upcoming challenges, existing challenges of climate change, and also we can exchange experiences on what the two nations have done for managing their protected areas, their wildlife. And happily, we have a document that is going to be signed during this joint commission. And definitely, it will be a step toward expanding our collaboration.
Discussions also cover the establishment of free trade zones and cross-border markets aimed at facilitating smoother transactions and boosting economic activity in border regions. Both sides see these initiatives as essential for regional stability and growth.
Iran and Pakistan's trade currently exceeds $3 billion, with Iran exporting $2.4 billion worth of goods to Pakistan in 2024. Both countries now aim to raise bilateral trade to $10 billion. Achieving this target will require adjustments in banking systems, easing trade regulations, and developing roads and infrastructure on both sides. Authorities from Tehran and Islamabad will work together to draw a roadmap to reach this goal.
This commission marks a turning point for Iran-Pakistan relations, with both sides seeking to overcome past challenges and create lasting economic partnerships.
As Tehran and Islamabad revive their joint economic dialogue, both sides are now aiming for a roadmap to boost bilateral trade to the $10 billion horizon. Yusumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
The main topic on the agenda of this year's conference is the June attacks on Iranian nuclear facilities and ongoing threats by the U.S. and Israel to nuclear security in West Asia.
International peace and security are indeed at risk. And we have seen this throughout history in particular, but not only in the Middle East and dramatically last June in Iran when its nuclear facilities were attacked. Together with His Excellency Dr. Araghchi, we signed an agreement indicating, summarizing the technical measures, the practical steps that we need to do to resume this indispensable work.
The General Conference started with the election of Iran as one of the eight vice presidents with the support of the Middle East and South Asia group.
I would like to thank the majority of the members of the IAEA in this conference trusted Iran to be as one of the vice presidents of the conference, and especially I would like to thank our group, Meza Group, which entrusted Iran as a candidate.
Iran tabled a motion prohibiting any attack on nuclear facilities on Monday evening. The resolution is co-sponsored by Russia and China and will be debated on Thursday afternoon.
We ask countries to participate and vote to this resolution, because if they don't support our suggestion, it means that they are supporting jungle law in the world. So it is better to condemn US and Israel and prevent further action as happened for us.
The Iranian resolution on the prohibition of attacks on nuclear facilities is based on common principles of the IAEA, such as the previous IAEA resolutions 533, 444, and the UN Security Council Resolution 487.
Iran has put forward a draft resolution aimed at serving the international community. This draft resolution is firmly grounded in the perception of the mandate of the IAEA in full compliance with the statute and in adherence to the fundamental principles of international law and the Charter of the United Nations.
Islami also held bilateral meetings with the delegations of Russia, Venezuela and China.
This hall is divided between those who contend attacks and threats on nuclear facilities and those who are joining the US, Israel and the E3 in their attempts to undermine the IAEA statute. But it's expected that most countries will support the Iranian resolution on Thursday. Dieter Reinisch from UN headquarters in Vienna.
For decades, the so-called two-state solution to the Israel-Palestine question has dominated Western diplomacy, enshrined in the controversial Oslo Accords of the early 1990s. 30 years on, many here say that solution was dead on arrival.
It's impossible now, in any event, even if it was desirable, which I don't think it ever was, to actually create a two-state proposition, because the West Bank, for example, has been completely atomized by the Zionist entity. So I think we need to rip that idea up and to start again, and what we're campaigning for is a one-state solution.
Critics of the two-state solution, now pushed for by Saudi Arabia and France at the United Nations, also pointed to Israel's ongoing genocidal assault on Gaza.
What they are actually doing is consolidating the gains made by the Zionist entity, which includes the absolute annihilation of Gaza, the continued terrorism that is being taken place by Israeli settlers in the West Bank. And what they actually want to do is consolidate the 80-odd years of Zionist settler colonialism.
The debate, organized by activist independent movement, grew heated, with some arguing for a state, including all Palestinians and those who live in what's now called Israel, if they wish to stay.
Every Palestinian should have the right to return. And Israelis who decide they want to stay will have obligation to assist the Palestinian to settle back to their home, and that means everywhere.
Opponents of that view argue it resembles South Africa after the end of apartheid, when many of the immigrant white population got to stay.
The concept of, you know, what is mine and what is yours is so simple, and actually people are trying to pretend there's shades of grey. No, actually it's very black and white. There's Palestine, and there's a fake terrorist construct called Israel that needs to be dismantled.
Dr. Ali also suggests that armed struggle by Palestinians is the only pathway to one state being materialized.
Armed struggle is legal under international law, and rather than, you know, and what we should be doing is arguing for deprescription of perfectly legitimate legal organizations under international law, we should be never condemning resistance.
At the end of the debate, it was obvious which motion received more support.
With the Israeli regime openly rejecting Palestinian statehood as it commits genocide in Gaza, the debate here mirrors a wider global reckoning. The two-state solution has repeatedly failed. The consensus here, a one-state solution with equal rights for all the indigenous inhabitants of historical Palestine. Saipur is up from Birmingham, United Kingdom.
This Friday, the quartet comprising the U.S., Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Egypt issued a joint statement declaring that Sudan's war has created the world's worst humanitarian crisis and threatens regional peace and security. The group called for a three-month humanitarian truce, unrestricted aid access, and a clear transition process towards civilian-led governance within 9 months. By Saturday, Sudan's government delivered its response. While stressing it welcomes genuine efforts to ease the conflict, the government underlined that no initiative will succeed unless it respects Sudan's sovereignty and the legitimacy of its national institutions. The statement also rejected attempts to place the state on equal footing with the militia, emphasizing that Sudan alone has the right to shape its political path during the transitional period.
The Quartet's statement have no legal or international legitimacy. They were formed to impose guardianship on Sudan. The UAE fueled and funded this war. Everyone knows who arms the RSF.
These resolutions are worthless, equating the army with the militia, and each time the army advances, the quartet rushes to rescue the UAE's spoiled child.
Khartoum also noted that international actors have struggled to enforce previous UN Security Council resolutions, including those on the siege of Al-Fashir. While the quartet is pushing for a new roadmap, analysts point out that earlier efforts failed to deliver lasting results, leaving questions about whether this latest initiative will move beyond the statement of intent.
From Khartoum, it's clear the government is drawing a firm line, welcoming any support to end the war, but rejecting what it sees as outside interference that undermines Sudan's sovereignty. Abdullah Hussein, Khartoum.
Britain's far right on the march again in their biggest show of strength yet, led by a man who made his name scapegoating migrants and Muslims and spreading conspiracy theories. Simultaneously, a counter-demonstration organized by rights groups and unions against what they call racism and the rise of fascism.
Everyone should have free speech, but there's a defined line between free speech and hate speech, and some of the things he says is hate speech. So we have the freedom of speech to speak up and speak out about what's right and what's wrong.
I think it's a very cheap shot to point your finger at asylum seekers, people who are fleeing war-torn countries, wars that are created by the West. And, you know, I think it's we've got to show people like Tommy Robinson, who I hear is funded by Israel. You know, we have to show him what's what.
At the heart of the far right's rhetoric, immigration. They blame immigrants, especially non-Europeans, as the reason behind their economic woes. The counter-demonstrators here say the reasons should be sought elsewhere.
It's just a smokescreen. People need to wake up and realize that these people, these refugees who have come to seek solace in our country are not the problem. They are not the problem. Look closer to home. Your government is your problem.
But that goes back to many, many years of austerity measures by the Tory government. I'm not hiding the fact that there's a lot of problems in this country in terms of like the economy, everything's been crashed, but it's not the refugees and the migrants that are to blame, but actually the politicians and their hypocrisy and their lies and their mismanagement of this country.
For 14 years, conservative governments imposed economic austerity while whipping up anti-migrant hysteria to distract from the damage. Under Labour, the promised change is yet to come.
They're angry with, and I understand some of the reasons they're angry, but I think they're blaming the wrong people. And yes, you have the right to free speech, but I think it should be based in fact. And a lot of their free speech that they claim isn't factual, and it's done to whip up anger, more anger for their own means.
Also tapping into that anger, right-wing Reform UK, led by wealthy politician Nigel Farage, whose party is rising sharply in the polls, with tackling migration top of his agenda if elected in the next general election.
At the heart of the problem, the demonstrators here say inequality, the failure of successive governments to look after the vulnerable, and the political system that fuels division rather than solving problems. Saipur is up, London.
On Monday, September 9, Ethiopia officially inaugurated the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, Africa's largest hydropower project on the Blue Nile. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed hailed the moment as a historic achievement for his country and the wider region. But as Addis Ababa celebrated, the spotlight quickly shifted downstream to Sudan, where questions about water security and the dam's impact on daily life remain unresolved.
The GERD is a strategic project for Ethiopia to meet its electricity needs. Egypt and Sudan fear possible risks, but in my visits, I have seen that for Sudan, the benefits outweigh the harm. It curbs floods, provides electricity, and engineers have assured its safety.
For Sudan, GERD offers both potential benefits and risks. Experts say it could help regulate destructive floods and provide more stable flows for irrigation and power. Yet Khartoum fears sudden releases, shortages during dry seasons, and the broader issue of dam safety. Located directly below the massive structure, Sudan is most exposed to any mismanagement, making daily coordination and transparency essential.
The matter doesn't end with this inauguration. Sudan and Egypt must take a strong stance to protect their rights through all legitimate means. As observers, we should put forward realistic, workable solutions. In my view, the only practical path is genuine joint management of the dam, where every decision is made collectively by all three countries.
Just hours after the inauguration, Egypt addressed the UN Security Council, emphasizing that it will not recognize Ethiopia's unilateral control over Nile waters and reaffirming the importance of international law. Previous trilateral talks among Ethiopia, Sudan, and Egypt failed to produce a binding agreement, leaving the dispute unresolved. Sudan, for its part, has reiterated its rejection of unilateral measures in the Nile Basin and remains committed to pursuing diplomatic channels to safeguard its national interests.
Standing here by the Nile, Sudan's lifeline, the concerns are clear. Beyond the promises of electricity and flood control, the real question is whether Ethiopia's dam will bring cooperation or deepen the uncertainty downstream. Abdullah Hussein, Khartoum.
Let's recite the Quran. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله respected brothers and sisters dear listeners listening to IRB English Radio right now welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem Inshallah, today we gotta practice Ayah 18, verse number 18, Surah Al-Ra'd. Tell us what page?
251.
So brothers and sisters, let's get started. Turn to page 251. I hope you have the Quran with you. Page 251, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 18. Is that right?
Yes.
So, ready everyone? Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم للذين استجابوا لربهم الحسنى والذين لم يستجيبوا له لو أن لهم ما في الأرض جميعا ومثله معه لافتدوا به أولئك لهم سوء الحساب ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد
For those who have responded to their Lord is the best reward. But those who did not respond to Him, if they had all that is in the earth entirely and the like of it with it, they would attempt to ransom themselves thereby. Those will have the worst account, and their refuge is hell, and wretched is the resting place.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. So, let's see what Allah Almighty says. First, like 2-3 points, if we could say, from this ayah, if we could mention. Let's first and foremost see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, like 2-3 points, if we could mention. But more information and the detailed explanation about this ayah, you have to refer to the Tafsir books, inshallah, and learn more. All right?
Yes.
So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم verse number 18, Surah Al-Ra'd, page 251. Allah Almighty says, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ الْحُسْنَى لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ What?
Al-Husna.
It means Al-Husna is for لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ Let's see what it means. Allah says, for those who answer the summons of their Lord, there shall be the best of rewards. What do you want? What do you want more than this? So if you answer Allah's summons, Allah invites you towards Himself. It's for you, not for Him. He doesn't need you. It's for you. So if Allah invites you towards Himself just because of you, and if you answer, Allah rewards you. Come on. Can you find this anywhere else? No. Yes? Allah tells you, hey, you want heaven? Do this and that. Do this. This is the way to get to heaven. Okay? It's just because of you. So if you do what Allah Almighty recommends you, the instructions that Allah Almighty gives you, if you follow His instructions, He rewards you again. This is really mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yes.
That's it, guys. Remember that Allah Almighty tells us a lot of beautiful points in the Quran. Learn the Quran. Read the Quran. Love the Quran. Live by the Quran. Understood?
Yes.
Let's move on to the Tajweed points. This is a long ayah. Let's see how many Tajweed points we can mention here. Hussein, would you please recite it once? Yes. As he is reciting, okay? As he is reciting, we'll explain the tajweed points. Let's listen, everyone.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Wait, and I gotta tell you that if you want to learn more and more about this, okay, you have to refer to the Tafsir books. Move on.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنتم.
للذين استجابوا لربهم الحسنى
أحسنتم للذين استجابوا لربهم الحسنى لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا. But you join them. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا. The Hamzatul Wasl is ignored, right? It's because we don't need it anymore. We no longer need it. Okay, move on. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى. Wait. He made a pause here. Hassan, was he allowed to make a pause here?
Yes.
How?
Because we have a letter Jim on top of Husna.
Oh, that sign.
It allows us to make a pause.
Okay. That indicates that here you are allowed to make a pause.
Yes.
Hussein, mashallah. Did you know this?
Yes.
Good job. Move on. وَالَّذِينَ. Wait. لِرَبِّهِمْ. Actually, it's ساكن. Mim is ساكن. لِرَبِّهِمْ. It's ساكن, okay? But الْحُسْنَى also starts with Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is ساكن also, right? The letter لام there, الْحُسْنَى, it's also ساكن. But here,
Mim has ضَمَّة.
I know. In fact, it doesn't have ضَمَّة. Wait, I'm going to tell you. There's a rule. It says the meeting of two ساكن letters. إِلْتِقَاءُ السَّاكِنَتَيْنِ. Meeting of two ساكن letters. That ضَمَّة is because the word al-husna starts with Hamzatul Wasl, so you don't have any